Turn your Bible tonight, the book of James, chapter 4, for a moment, beginning in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come not hence, even of your lust that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, and ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask it amiss, that it may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Father, tonight we thank you for the opportunity we have to assemble here. We ask you tonight, dear Lord, that as we look into your word and as we study your word, that you might use it in our hearts and lives to encourage us and strengthen us, to challenge and convict, to show us your will tonight, Lord, that we might do what you would have us to do. And tonight, in all things, we pray that Jesus Christ will receive the honor and the glory. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. And amen. As I've told you before, and I remind you again, that James is the epistle of practical Christianity. Martin Luther called it the epistle of straw. He did not believe that it was inspired of God, because he believed that it taught that salvation is by works and not by faith, and faith alone. But James deals entirely with a different scenario than what the Apostle Paul dealt with when he was talking about salvation by grace. James certainly believed that this evening. He was the Lord's brother. He was there as Jesus talked. And this evening he simply writes this epistle tonight to teach us how to live in this present world. James tonight teaches us how to deal with the trials and sufferings of life. How tonight that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. How that tonight that our faith is shown by our works. That we do not only believe in Christ in word only, but we believe in him tonight because of the way that we live and the things that we do. But here in chapter number 4, I want you to notice what he says in verse number 5. And he talks here about friendship. And when we talk about friendship, we usually tonight associate that with someone that we know here upon this earth. And tonight many of us have good friends and close friends and people tonight we've known for all of our life, and we call them our friends. But James here talks about being a friend or an enemy of God. And tonight we, I think, must sometimes look into our own heart and into our own lives. As Paul said, sometimes we must have a self-examination. We must examine ourselves. And tonight I have to ask this question of myself: am I a friend or an enemy of God? And James here very plainly states the criteria for that. He said that if you'd be a friend of the world, then tonight you are an enemy of God. Now, how do we know if we are friends of God? Well, you know, Paul kindly explains a great deal of it in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, and verse number 2, when he said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Are we conformed to the world? You see tonight, there are really two standards that we could look at this evening as we look out across society. There are the standards of the world, And many people are conforming themselves to those standards. Many churches tonight are conforming themselves to those standards. They are conforming to the standards that the world sets forth. If a person is committed and in a committed relationship, then irregardless, it doesn't make any difference. They love each other, and so it's okay. That's a standard set by the world. There's a standard set by the world tonight that says, if you're a good person, if you live honorably and honestly, if you tonight always try to do your very best, and you're not running around raping and murdering and killing and doing all kind of despicable acts, your good will probably outweigh your bad, and one day you'll stand before God and He'll say, "Come on in, blessed child." That's the standard the world sets tonight. I meet very few people tonight who are lost. I meet very few people tonight who would tell you that tonight they're going to hell. Because tonight they are accepting the standards of the world. They're accepting those standards that are set forth tonight by the world. And so tonight you see in ancient times when you read the word friend, it means a great deal more than sometimes it means today, because it means that there are two people who are sharing the same opinion, the same standard tonight. And so when James says here that we're not to be friends of the world, and Paul says we're not to be conformed to the world, he's saying to us tonight that we tonight cannot hold the same standards with the world. If we want to be popular, if we tonight want to be held in great esteem, then this evening we can adapt the standards of the world and become a friend of the world. A church can do that. An individual can do that this evening. Abraham was known as the friend of God. Why? Because he adapted a different standard. He had a different code that he lived by. The Bible says he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. This evening I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Not only that, I'm headed for that city whose builder and maker is God. And as the inspirations once sang, one day you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. But we'll never enter that city tonight. We can never enter into those pearly gates if we tonight adapt the standards of the world. That's what we live by. And you see, James here is warning the church. He's warning Christian people. He's warning those tonight to step back and take a look and examine and make sure that the standards that you're setting tonight are the standards of God. Because you see, God sets standards tonight. I do not set them. Sometimes we think tonight and people will say, well, that's a bunch of fundamentalist stuff tonight. That's a bunch of unlearned and ignorant things tonight. You don't have enough intelligence. You don't have enough education. And all of that was written long ago. Well, it's still God's word tonight. And you see, tonight it's not my job to do anything but to preach it and tell it. Now you think about that. It's like I tell the children on my school bus. I don't make the rules. I don't even enforce the rules. I just tell on them that break them. Because somebody else is going to enforce them. I tell you what the rule is. And if you choose to break that rule, then that's your business. But there will be consequences to pay. And you see, when we look tonight and we say, hey, people will say, well, I just don't understand all of that. Well, I don't tell you I understand it all. But tonight, God's standards are very simple tonight. Man's a sinner. He's lost without Christ. He needed those sins to be cleansed and washed away. He needs to be reconciled unto God because he's at enmity with God. And so God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. In his grace and in his mercy tonight, he loved us enough for that. And God sets the standards tonight that we're to live by. God sets the standards tonight that we're to even govern ourselves by. You see, we live in a day and age when sometimes I read here in the scripture and I read what James is teaching us here, and I look in our world and I think tonight that people do not realize how that God came into this world through a virgin womb and became a human person. And he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now, you narrow that down this evening. Jesus came into this world, born in a human body, and he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Now, that's a very great statement tonight. That's a very something to ponder this evening. You ponder that in your heart just a little bit sometime of what God did. He is touched by the feelings of your infirmities. A man told me the other day, and I began to think about that, and he's absolutely right. He said one of the great problems that we face in this nation tonight is we're governed by people that never had a real job. And I said, well, I never thought about it that way. He said, they don't care if gas costs $4 a gallon. The government issues them a credit card and a car to drive it in. They don't care tonight if groceries go sky high, somebody else pays for them. If you're a billionaire tonight, what do you care? Your salary is now guaranteed for life. You're on Easy Street. You have access to all kinds of health care. And so tonight when they say that they're touched with the feelings of our infirmities, they're not. But God came to this earth. He came as a little baby and grew up. And I've often wondered about that. Why did God send him as a little baby? Why? You know, sometimes things just ponder in my mind, and why did he bring him as a little bitty baby, and why did he have to grow up as a youngster? I think one of the reasons tonight he wanted to be able to reach out and touch us in all aspects of our life, that he knows how we feel. As Rachel sang a moment ago, sometimes we endure and we go through things that are very difficult for us. During some trying times, but we have one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he's still God on top of that. You see, you think about that. And so he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and tonight he sets the standards by which we're to live. And when you read those standards, there are standards tonight that actually protect us, actually help us, make us healthy, wealthy, and wise. In one way tonight, I'm not telling you to be wealthy, and you'll always be healthy. But you see, God set in motion certain things tonight that if we follow and look at his directions, we'll be a lot better off. All of God's standards are there to protect and to help us this evening. And James said that sometimes we as Christians begin to drift to the other side. We begin to go from being a friend of God to a friend of the world. He prefaces his statement in verse 4 by talking about adulterers and adulteresses. And every time I read that, I'm reminded years ago someone gave me a 78 record. Some of you don't even know what that is. That was a long time ago, of some comical things that were said on television and radio back in the early days. Kind of like the bloopers we have today, except it's a lot more cleaner. And one of the things was some quiz show. They were asking this lady, and she said, "Yes, sir, I'm a maid and a house," and she named in Atlanta, Georgia. And the guy said, "Well, how many people live in that house?" She said, "One adult and one adulteress." So every time I read this, I'm reminded of that. But James here is talking about spiritual adultery. He's talking about that we have went away from God. We quit being his friend and went to the other side. And what causes that tonight? He said lust. We usually associate that with immorality, but actually the word tonight simply means the desire to have. You know, sometimes we have a desire to have. We want something and we want what we want. We have a desire to have things our own way. We want things to be done our way. He said, you lust and have not, you kill. Now, does he mean here that these are a bunch of murderers? Not in the sense that they physically take someone's life, but they were willing tonight to murder someone's reputation to gain what they had. You see, lust will cause us to do all kinds of things, a desire to have. As I look tonight across our land, as I look across our churches tonight, I sometimes see a desire to have, it seems, has replaced the desire to preach the word. It's replaced tonight the command to be instant in season and out of season. It's replaced tonight those things that God sets as his standards this evening. But God sets standards tonight. And in our desire to have, we want to go from that standard to another standard. That's the standard of the world. There are two attitudes in the world tonight, and James is addressing that here also. You see, there's the attitude of everything I can find really is mine, and I want it so I can consume it, as James said, upon my lust, upon my desire. I want everything I can get, and I'm going to use it for myself. But you see, God's opinion is what? Love everybody else as yourself. Very difficult to do that sometimes. Don't misunderstand that. We all have that tendency, you know. You know, we want what we want, and we don't care if anybody else has any of it or not. But the standard of God is, hey, love one another. And you really love somebody else above yourself. Have this mind. That this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you see, when we love others tonight as we love ourselves, you see, we don't have covetousness tonight. We tonight practicing what the Lord teaches us. But the world tonight says, hey, let's grab everything we can from somebody else so we can use it for ourselves. I read yesterday in the paper about a man who has everything he owns on a bicycle. And he's traveling across the country preaching the gospel in different places. And the Lord providing his needs. It was amazing to read it. And one of the things that I read, and he said that for the most part, the places that he goes, that churches have either become social clubs or places of entertainment. I thought, well, why? Because he said they went away from the standards of God. And they think more of themselves than they do others tonight. That's why I'm so glad tonight as I read of our offerings and as I read of our giving tonight, and we give tonight out of our offerings tonight to mission efforts. to help others tonight. That's a great testimony. That's what we should do tonight. And we should never let up. We should always do that. You see, that's tonight saying we have a different standard than the standard of the world. That we had rather do that than we had to see things that we want. That's the standard tonight. You see, the world has standards and God has standards. The world has an attitude and God has an attitude. Tonight, my question I have to ask to myself, as I said in the beginning and I asked you this evening, are we friends of God or friends of the world? I want to be a friend of God. I want to live by God's standards and do what God teaches me to do. I want to have God's attitude tonight that I help others along the way. I want to be like the fellow that, as he was watching everything he owned in his home burn to the ground, and he had been well known for giving things away, that a man walked up to him and said, "I bet you wish you'd have kept some of that you give away." And he said, "Wish I'd have given it all away. That's the only thing I really saved." You think about it. We should lay our treasures up in heaven, not here tonight. Amen. Amen. Right. Are we a friend of God or a friend of the world? That's a question we all have to answer in our own heart and our own life. All right. You'll stand together with me. Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We ask you to take this very simple message. You to the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.